Welcome to Blightbringers, a Legion of Everblade focused War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Ron Lore, and I'm going to play this game tomorrow, so help me God. Joining me this week is Cutter.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome back. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, happy to be back from the Boker Brawl and some other things going on.
Yeah, you've been busy. Looking
forward to talking about some games.
Right on. So this week we're gonna ask Cutter to go over his performance at the Boker Brawl, which he did pretty well. Spoilers, but we're gonna get him to talk about his lists, talk about how they played out, and going forward, maybe any changes he is considering. Sound good?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I participated in both the team tournament, which I think I'll probably skip today for the most part in the interest of time, and then also the solo tournament, which is probably a little bit of a better test. But I did play the same list, so that'll work out either way.
Right on. Okay, so why don't we get into it? The solo tournament was a Masters event, I assume?
Yeah, it was Masters style, so it was basically just go until the end. It did run simultaneously with another Masters style event that was a War Machine Weekend points qualifier. So there's the big base brawl and the points qualifier. And I had no expectations of making it over to War Machine Weekend this year. So the big base brawl is where I played. Going into that, basically, I won't go into all the specifics of the lists right now, but I ran Thagrush 1. This is the Thagrush 1 list I've been working on for several months at this point. There's some other lists out there like it, but this one is mine.
Okay.
Which is a quote from somewhere I don't remember.
And Full Metal Jacket.
There we go. And so I've been working on it. I did some experimentation in the Nova Masters finals. Well, not the finals, but the invitational part of it, that I thought kind of opened things up a little bit. It gave me an opportunity to think about what the list actually needs to function. And then I kind of iterated on that idea when going into the Boker Brawl. So it's a standard Thagrush list that's two Thrones, Typhon, Carnivian, and then a bunch of support pieces.
Right.
And the support pieces that you use is kind of going to depend on what you think you're going to see. And I actually dropped a Naga out of the list because I didn't really feel like it was necessary in a team event.
I
ended up seeing some things that I thought that the Naga was necessary for anyway. I saw Malak, I saw Haley 3, I saw Sorsha 3. So I saw things that had the arm buffs that I didn't really want to deal with, or defensive buffs. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was, because I still had the ice switches and that would fix some of the things.
Right.
So the theory with that is kind of you need to fix something, and it's probably you can't put too much in there. For me, I'm a big proponent of Valkyries, as people on the Discord know. That's somewhat contentious, but I find into certain CRAs and certain shots like boosted siege crawler shots, things like that, that they're really, really helpful. And there were a couple of games where they had nothing to do other than run around and smash things, and they were fine at that too. So I like that unit a lot. If I knew that I could dodge shooting matchups, I'd consider cutting them. But
yeah,
that's what Legion gets a lot of right now. So maybe if your pairing really encourages people to not take shooting, then they wouldn't be as useful. So going into the pairing process, I was pairing Thagrush 1 and Oracles with Kallus 1 in Primal Terrors. That's a list that I saw JVM piloting at Nova. Got to watch some games of that, some practice sessions. I had won the Rotwings at a tournament sometime before then, but hadn't really gotten enough practice in to feel comfortable with it. But it's a list that kind of builds itself in a way. It's basically double max chosen, double max Rotwings, Blightbringer, Amok, and then the only points that you have left over are for the Hellmouths that you get for free, the Harrier, which is basically just, you know, a beast that happens to have a defensive animus that's super cheap, so it can cap zones, and a Spell Martyr. And then the thing that I think JVM was kind of the champion of was Gudrun. And Gudrun just sits on a flag. He just takes a nap, basically. I think I may have made an attack with him at some point in the tournament, but I don't remember specifically. That might have been somewhere else.
Yeah, I went out and bought him specifically after hearing how well he performed for JVM.
Yeah, I really wanted to mod him. Maybe someone's already done this, but I wanted to mod him taking a nap, like on a little bed or something. But yeah, I ended up finding a painted one. So with my painting motivation being what it is, I just took that one. And his spear was bent all weird, but it actually kept everything within the base. So that was great. I just left it like that. Yeah, thank you, Postal Service, for being rough on him. So yeah, the event started. We had already done a full day of the day before was all team event, and then the first several hours of that day was also team event.
Okay.
And then there was a small break, and then we got into the big base brawl. And the event was run really well. It was fairly casual in terms of timing between rounds for the most part. The only thing that got a little tight was towards the end of the day when the hall was closing because we were in a VSW hall. So for the foreigners, it's Veterans of Foreign Wars is what VFW is.
Okay.
So it's just these big halls where they hold events, and they're usually really cheap to get. Yeah, it was a cool space. There's a lot of room. Seth did an amazing job of setting up the tables in an organized fashion, having different like flags with table numbers, and just the way that it was all organized was great. So I definitely want to give kudos to them for putting all of that together. And it came off really smoothly. So I don't want to belabor that stuff too long. I do want to get into the event. So the idea of the big base brawl is you win big bases for playing it. So the event also had these little win conditions where if you killed someone top of two, you could pick out of the prize pool. There were different tiers of prizes. And since there was the Boker Brawl, there were all these Boker-based prizes. But you had to have Ogryn Bokers, which I haven't seen, I think, since themes came out. So there were a bunch of prizes. I did pick up some other stuff, which I ended up just giving to other people. So, and then the top 10 got huge bases. So,
nice.
Yeah, and there was a selection of them there. I'll get to that stuff later. So the first match that I had was into, I'm not going to remember everyone's name, so I'm just not even going to say names. So I know that this guy was Joe Ferry, though, so I'll say his name because there was a team that featured his name. That is probably going to make this podcast rated R. So I'll just not say it.
Great.
And yeah, it was FJF. So you can fill in the blanks there.
Yeah, I think we got it.
So he was running Maelok, and I decided Kallus 1 because it was on Spread the Net. And I had played into Maelok with my Thagrosh 1 list in the team tournament against Mark Mail. And I know Mark from Nova, some other events, and he's a great minions player. And I still felt like Thagrosh had a really good grip on that game. It was Mirage. I absolutely should have played Kallus 1. But I, for some reason, was like, you know, I really want to know how this goes. And the Thagrosh list actually performs surprisingly well into it, but you have to be careful about gators because Maelok has mortality and the gators have snacking and they all get undead and their arm goes through the roof and they can become incorporeal for a turn. And so all this stuff basically accumulates to gators are going to crash into you and you need to hold them at bay. And both the lists do that pretty well. So if you can keep gators from charging you, they don't do a lot of damage. They're just power strength 13 and mortality makes them 15. And that's it. There isn't anything else going on. So you really, there's usually like a wrestler or something in the list. So that's the thing that's going to hit hard. But other than that, there isn't a lot of damage going around. So yeah, basically he won the roll and he chose the side that threatens some pretty gross Hellmouth placements. And it's a tricky situation. They had a lot of hazard terrain in this event, and there was a big burning forest right in front of my deployment zone, but I didn't care because the Rotwings don't get affected by it because they're flying. The Hellmouth can't really take damage from fire because it's a POW 12. Hellmouth is arm 18. It's one die. It can't do damage to it.
Right.
The tentacles could get damaged by it, but once the Blightbringer's up there, it's not really a big deal. And in general, the tentacles all are probably going to die the turn that they're running around out there. It doesn't really matter if they're on fire for a turn. So basically, the way that the list functions is you just jam people out of scenario, and the line of engagement is really gross. I'll send you a picture of the final game state here so that you can get an idea of what it looks like.
Sure.
But yeah, basically what happens is you just jam really hard, and then you just keep crushing into gators, and gators keep trying to get through, and you try to pick off like totem hunters and whatever so that, you know, they can't go hopping through your lines. And then that's pretty much how the game goes. So I ground out on scenario. It ended up being 5-0. And he had kind of, I don't think he had played the matchup before, or at least he wasn't familiar with it. So I just sent you a picture of what the
game state looks like. You're on the other side of the table.
Yeah, they're like, my line of contact is at the front of the circle on their side. My rectangle is not accessible. Gudrun's just sleeping on a flag.
Oh my God.
It's like I'm halfway into the zone, the rectangular zone on their side, and all the Chosen and Rotwings are like wrapping around the flag on their side. So there's really just no good way. Malak can't really assassinate you for the most part. That was something that I think Mark was joking about. It was like Malak assassinations not really being a thing. So I even worked with Joe a little bit to try and figure out a way for him to contest the flag in a meaningful way. And yeah, it's gross. So that's pretty much what happened there. So that was a 2-hour game, and that's kind of what we expected. We both sat down and were like, well, looks like we're going to be here for 2 hours. And that is what happened. So the next game I ended up playing into Madrek 1 with a Glacier King. This is one of the lists that I hadn't gotten to experience. I'd played other Madrek 1s. I hadn't played the Glacier King version. And this one, it's the Glacier King is scary because what happens is it runs up the table. It stands right in front of you, like in the middle of the table. Magic feats, so you can't charge anything. And the Glacier King kind of like says, you know, can you deal with this thing?
Right.
And it's scary. This was on standoff. So I ran Kalos 1 again because I felt like the Thagrush list, I didn't really want to deal with champions. I'd had a bad experience with Kalandra's champions before, and I feel like given the scenario, I could probably jam them out if given the opportunity. And turns out that is absolutely a thing you can do. So it was the same deal. There was a house, there were two houses, but one was fairly central, so it kind of congested the magic brick a little bit. The guy I was playing, his son also plays Legion and had been looking at playing this Kalos list in particular, or some kind of Kalos list, but he didn't have all the double everything that you need for it.
Right.
So his game finished up. He was playing Abby, and I think something unfortunate happened there, Abby too. And then I think it was actually the Crix player I ended up playing later, Steve King, had killed Abby in kind of an unfortunate way. So yeah, it turns out Denager 2 is gross.
Yeah.
So the way that it played out, basically you'll see like double champions, you'll see long riders, you'll see like some support solos and whatever. And what ends up happening is they come up, they kind of position aggressively, you crash into them, they have Sanguine Bond, things that get near the Glacier King fall down because it's a big jerk. And then because if you end your movement or activation within 3 inches, I think it's activation, you get knocked down.
Yeah.
Which sucks for Chosen. Also sucks for Rotwings.
Yeah.
So the thing I learned in the game, that's obvious, but you kind of have to do it, is when you're running Rotwings around and they're free striking them and turning them into incubi, your incubi will activate and then fall down, and that sucks because then they're not defense 16. So it's a lot better to just get your birds into place. Even if they fall down, they kill them and then incubi pop out. So one of the cool things you can do with the list is run birds over their lines, and then if they decide to take free strikes, incubi pop out that can activate that
right.
turn. So usually people will see that once and they're like, okay, I get this, I see what's happening here, and then they don't do it anymore, which lets you just jam everything. Sometimes your birds are close enough to charge over their lines and kill stuff, and then there's really something to think about. But yeah, basically the same kind of thing happened. I jammed everything out of my rectangle completely, and then did my best to jam out one of the two circles, because Kalos's control area is not that big. It's only 12 inches, and the unyielding aura is only 8 inches. So when you kind of get jammed in there, the champions will kill your stuff, and they will absolutely kill your stuff if they have retaliatory strike and you hit them and don't do a lot of damage, and then they hit you back as a weapon master. So it actually got to the point in the game where I was like, attacks don't make sense anymore. I can't attack these things except with Chosen because they're just killing everything. So I actually just had to keep like washing waves of things up. And then the only things I would actually kill was anything that snuck through the lines and ended up getting into like contest range or something. So the same thing happened there. It ground out on Scenario. The Glacier King got jammed super hard and was like shooting past all the birds and incubi at my objective, at Amok, at like all these other things. So you have to kind of be a little careful about that stuff too.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of keep that in mind. Madrak was bouncing his axe around and stuff, but I had Gudrun sleeping on one side of a house. I had a Hellmouth on another side of the house that was in a circle zone. And then the other circle zone he was just jammed out of. So there wasn't a lot that he could do with the way that he got jammed in. Because what Madrak wants to do is he wants to kill the front line with his champs, and then he wants to charge like long riders through or something.
Right.
And then, you know, you make space for them or whatever. But it just wasn't working out, because once he got jammed in, he wasn't doing enough damage to Chosen to be able to get them out. And then they were just healing up because there was no or anti-healing stuff going on.
Yeah, makes sense.
So that one also went 5-0 on Scenario, maybe 6-0, I don't know, something like that. So I was talking to a couple of my friends who were also undefeated at the time, and I was telling them, so you guys, there was a game in here that I skipped. I actually played against one of the guys who came down with me, Brian/Spike McGurk, and he was running Kane too, and he was on the hunt for getting prizes and stuff. So he was basically prepared to do this really crazy, ballsy assassination run to get prizes. And while also running his caster like across the board. So it was kind of like a silly game. This was in the second round. He did not kill me. I did kill him. So Thagrosh, however, this was kind of ridiculous. He got so far across the field because I was like missing him and he had bullet dodger up. He got so far across the field that Kane was behind my army.
Oh, and what?
Thagrosh had to go into my deployment zone. I killboxed myself to kill him because I couldn't hit him with anything. So Thagrosh had to go in, and I ended up killboxing myself by accident because I was so far into my own deployment zone.
That's amazing.
It turns out deployment, the killbox is only your deployment. So he could be in my deployment zone without any penalties.
Right, of course.
So yeah, it was a pretty ridiculous game. I just thought it was funny that I had to killbox myself to kill their caster.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's a mm-hmm. new one to
he
me.
He got there. Like, you know, that's what he did. So I tried to kill him along the way. I was like, all right, you're gonna go through the gauntlet to get there. But when he's defense 19 with bullet dodger, which gives you dodge to any attacks, he's hard to nail down. Like, you can try to do like spine bursts or whatever, but it's just not that easy.
Yeah.
So he's like engaged the whole time. Yeah, it's crazy.
Jeez.
So yeah, I didn't like having Kane behind me, it turns out. So I did have to go deal with that.
Fair enough. That's like, I would be so like, just how did you get here? Mm-hmm. My life would be a mess.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Right on. What do you say?
We racked and we played another game.
Oh, okay. That's good.
What were you saying?
I was going to say, what do you say we call that a little short little part one? And we will come back to the rest of your solo big base brawl games maybe a little bit later. Sound good?
Yeah, we can do that. I can give you a quick teaser on it. Tell you the next match is against High Reclaimer Double Judicator.
Oh, God.
Which is not something that I was looking forward to. I was talking to my friends and telling them, so you guys are going to eliminate this, right? Because I don't want to deal with this. And then in the finals, so that's a little bit of a spoiler, I played against Scar 1.
Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you for going over those games. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It definitely got me pumped for more events. That was partially the team event. I strongly recommend team events if you can. I'm planning on being at the CaptainCon team event. And then I'll probably be... I don't know what's going on with the ATC. I might end up being alternate. I kind of got on the boat a little late for that one.
Okay.
Team events are awesome.
Yeah, the OTC signups are coming up soon. So I guess everyone keep an eye out for that. And yeah, just get out to tournaments, everyone. Give everybody a good legioning, like I said earlier this week on Facebook.
Yeah. Speaking of Facebook, I'll do a plug for some lists that I threw up there. I've been, after these events, I've been trying out some different stuff that I've kind of had on the shelf for a while. So I played Lilith 2 in Primal Terrors. I played Thagrosh 2 in Primal Terrors. I played Saren 1 in Oracles. And I did little write-ups for all of them to kind of explain what I was trying to do, what I thought of actually putting it on the table, any tricks that happened along the way, and then kind of final thoughts on them.
Fantastic.
So I'll just leave that. That's on the Blightbringers Facebook page. So if people want to read those and comment on them or talk about them in Discord or whatever, that would be awesome.
Great. So everyone look forward to checking out those. You got any events coming up, or just kind of relaxing now that you've rushed a couple?
I think I'm going to go. I'm going to try to make a couple events because we're kind of in the dead zone. Because I'm not going to War Machine Weekend unless I have some amazing windfall. And yeah, there aren't really a lot of events coming up. So I think it's just local stuff. Ooh. I did start running a Journeyman League. It starts this week. I'm not running it, but I'm helping run it, I guess. And one of the guys in the area has tons of battle boxes that he bought compulsively when they were on sale
Right.
and sold them all at massive discounts to the new people. So that was awesome. So thanks to Charlie for that. And yeah, so we have 10 people signed up. They're all new players. So it's cool to get the new blood injection into our meta here in New York, which is struggling a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. The last thing you want is for the old diehards to kind of get back into a journeyman and crush some
Just crush
people.
everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, right on. I think that'll just about do it. As always, join us on the War Machine Discord. A link, as always, is in the show notes. But thank you all for listening to episode 19 of Blightbringers. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. See you.
Bye, Cutter.